listen, we are so glad that each and every single one of you are here. We love to minister the Word of God on everyone's level. So our 6th through 8th grade, that's our Ignite Bible study. If you are currently here and want to stand up and go out, we're dismissing at this time, 6th through 8th grade. And as they prepare to exit, I just want to say again, happy Father's Day to all of our fathers. I do want to give a special shout out to my dad. Pastor Tom is watching on live stream. Happy Father's Day, Dad. We love you. I love you so much. And, you know, my dad taught me all about hard work. And the most important, valuable thing that he taught me is how to listen to God. The Bible talks about that our steps are ordered by God, and I don't know where I'd be without that valuable tool of knowing how to hear from God. He also taught me the importance of daily doses of the Word of God. I'm so grateful for that. As a child, I can remember waking up and walking out into the living room all the way up till I went to college. Just every morning, consistent, my dad would be in his lazy boy, sitting back with the Word of God open, no matter what time it was in the morning. And I'm so grateful for that. And another thing I'm grateful for, Dad, is the legacy that you've left for our children. And the Bible talks about that the righteous man not only leaves a legacy for his children or inheritance, but also his children's children. So I'm thankful for that. Happy Father's Day, Dad. I love you. And I would be remiss if I didn't honor my husband on the front row. Happy Father's Day, John. I love to sit back and watch Pastor John because he makes other people laugh and he makes our children laugh. He is the joy in our family. In fact, numerous times people are like, I would love to be a fly on the wall in your house. You would love it. So, but happy Father's Day. And I also very much value the fact that you teach our children to honor and love me. So I love you. Happy Father's Day. All right. So now that that's out of the way, let's open up the Word of God this morning in Deuteronomy chapter 5, if you have your Bible. I know today brings on a lot of different emotions when it comes to Father's Day. There's some of us, maybe you've had a father that's already moved on to heaven, or maybe you had an absentee father figure, or maybe you are in a season in your life that you're working through some emotions towards that figure in your life. But I want to encourage you today. The Bible states clearly in the Word of God that it is not something that we're asked to do. It's not something that's suggested for us. But in the scripture here, it says, honor your father and mother as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live long and that it may go well with you in the land the Lord your God has given you. This isn't something that God is asking us, but it is a command. And I love the fact that it comes with a guarantee. The guarantee is that when we do that, that in return, he says it's going to be well. It's going to be well in your life. What is the definition of well? To be sound, beautiful life, happy, success, and a right standing. Can I just tell you that God formatted or brought together the family, the foundation of the family, so they can be well in your life. Sometimes we think, oh, all my parents do is they take. They just want more. But I want you to, like, take down those goggles. Sometimes we can look through different spectacles or glasses and see things that really aren't there. I want to encourage you this morning that God wants you to live a well life, a beautiful life, a strong life. In fact, the fruit of that life is the root of honor. He's called us to honor. There's a scripture in Psalms chapter 127. Psalms chapter 127. This is going to be kind of a foundation scripture for our talk today. 127:11, it says, except the Lord build the house. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. A lot of times when we look at the scripture of "Let the Lord build the house," we immediately think about the church. The church, the Lord is building the church. But you know, if you read prior to, this scripture is set up, "Let the Lord build the family." God is into building families. And what is God's design of marriage? It's one man and one woman. Regardless of what the government says, that is marriage. And God has taken the family, and the foundation of a family is so important. He has designed that. It's He that builds the family. But you know, the family is under attack today. Can you see that? The family is under attack, and the enemy wants to come, and there's a fight. There's a fight for the family. In fact, when we are raising children in the fear and the admonition of God, we can expect a fight. It's important that we're aware of that, because the enemy doesn't want our legacy to live on. God says that he established the family, and then He established the church. But can I just encourage you this morning? If we build healthy families, we'll build healthy people. And that's so important. Healthy families equals healthy healthy people. And when we build solid families, we build a solid church. Okay, Kathy, are you just about the church? No, because when we build a solid church, we build a solid community. And can I just tell you, when there is solid communities, we have a solid nation. And I mean, there is a spiritual attack on this nation like never before. And can you believe it starts right at our back door when it comes to the family? There is an attack on the family. And I want to encourage you this morning, whether you're single, whether you're a single parent, whether you're married, you are part of the family of God. That's why, anybody in small groups right now? Anybody enjoying? The community of small groups, we love it. Why do we do that? Why do we take time out to have the opportunity for you to come in and have fellowship, to grow, to be with like-minded believers? It's because we're all about building the family, building the community, so that we can make a change in the world. That's what God has called us to do. What does the Bible say? That we're called to not only be disciples, but also to disciple others. I just feel like a heart cry this morning is that we have a God-ordained responsibility to reach others. How can we reach others until we get ourselves in order, right? So the Bible talks about that. Except the Lord build the house, He is building the family. But there's a fight. Turn in your Bible to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. There is a fight for the family. And it says here, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood." How many of you know, sometimes husbands and wives, we can wrestle, can't we? We can go at it. Is it my way, your way, or the right way? They say about that. But if we would recognize that we're on the same team. But it's very difficult when there's what this is what I know is right. This is what I've been taught. What do they say when a marriage comes together? You're taking two histories and bringing them together. I've heard Pastor John say it's like a collision. Instead of a bringing together, it's more like a hit, because you have your way, their way. But it says here, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, but against spiritual wickedness in the high places." Can I just tell you, there's an attack on the family because the enemy knows that there's strength in numbers. There's strength in unity. In fact, I wrote this down. There is a war against the family in the natural and in the spirit because destinies are at stake. World change is at stake. So why do dads matter? Because God set up the family. In fact, I'm going to tell you real quick some statistics. There is attack on men today. There's an attack on, these sitcoms. I love me some good sitcoms. Anybody watch What About Raymond? That's kind of old school. Or there's Kings and Queens, Kings of Queens, I think. We love that. But, they dumb down the dads. They kind of make in fun of, that man figure. And we're not about that. But there are some statistics, I can say that word right, that indicate what is supposed to be a single family or a non-father home. I just want to tell you right now, you don't have to receive that, because how many of you know that God is the best father? God, Abba Father, Abba Daddy, and He can be our father and He can stand in there for that. So listen to this. The number one indicator of successful fathering is whether you are raised in a one- or two-parent home. 63% of youth suicides are from fatherless homes. That is five times the average. 90% of all runaway homeless teens are from fatherless homes. That's 32 times the average. 85% of behavioral issues in children today are from fatherless homes. That's 20 times the average. Kathy, why are you talking about this? This is depressing. I want you to recognize the attack on the family. I want you to recognize the bigger picture of what's at stake, the legacy, the destiny of those that are in your form or your family and the people that are around you. 85% of children today are 71% of all high school dropouts come from fatherless homes. That's nine times the average. Children with fathers involved are 40% less likely to repeat a subject in school. And it goes on to say 78% of all unwed teenagers come from single-parent homes. Can I just tell you that we have a bloodline, the blood of Jesus, and when we come into relationship with God, we come into a new inheritance. When we become children of the Most High God, the trajectory of our lives change. But there's a fight. There's a fight that we have to take responsibility for. I'm so thankful for godly men. I'm so thankful for godly fathers that step in and take on the position and the responsibility to lead their family. It's an important call. In fact, it's a holy call. It's a vocation that we have to take seriously as men, but also as women. We have to come and we have to support the role of our men and our families. In fact, this morning I want to bring attention to the patriarch. Anybody heard that word before? That's kind of out there. The patriarch is the head of a family or the head of a tribe. Anybody got a tribe out there? More than five or more kids is a tribe. But the patriarch is the male or the head of the family, and the matriarch is the female, and she's to come along beside and to honor her husband. And so this morning, we're going to look at that, the father factor. We're going to embrace the word of God, and we're going to look at how God designed the family. In fact, it says in Psalms chapter 11, verse 3, if you want to turn there, it's the middle of your Bible. Psalms 11, verse 3. It says, when the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? Now, we just talked about the foundation of the family. It's being attacked. Therefore, it's trying to be destroyed. When the foundations are being destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous can turn towards the Word of God. It's so important that we recognize that. What is the foundation? That is the base. In fact, that word for home or base is kia, K-E-I. Anybody learn a little bit of Greek this morning? Kia. And that word actually means to lay, to settle down, to stay or arrange in a desired position or order. When it comes to the family, it's so important that the foundation is set right. I'm not a builder, but I understand from the way that the homes work, that if the foundation isn't right, then there's cracks in the walls and different things take place. So here, the Bible's talking about that if the order is wrong in the house, it will be wrong. In fact, have you ever walked into a bathroom and seen a couch in a bathtub? No, probably, most likely not. Because why? It's out of order. Have you ever walked into a kitchen and seen a bed right next to the stove? Yeah, that was college, right? But no. But why? It's out of order. And so we can look at natural things and think that there's an order in a home. The beds go in the bedroom. The couch goes in the living room. And so on. But sometimes when it comes to spiritual order, we just take whatever it is. Well, that's how my mother was, so that's how I'm going to be. Well, that's how my father ran his home. He reacted like that. He slammed doors. He raised his voice. So that's just who I am. And we accept the order that we're comfortable with. But the Bible talks about what? That when the foundations are being restored, what can the righteous do? The righteous can have the patriarch, the man of the home, rise up and lead. In fact, what is a father? The father, as far as a patriarch, he is the founder. He is an author. He is a producer. He is a builder. The father, he governs. He guides. He guards. What is a founder? He establishes something. He's a producer. He brings in the public what is created in private. He is the father. He's the chief of the home. And so it's important this morning, and some of you might be thinking, not my dad. Well, we have a responsibility to still honor our father. We can pray for him. We can encourage him, and we can honor him. In fact, there's a scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. If you'll turn there. How many have heard that the man is the head of the home, but the woman is the neck that turns the head? That's not what we're talking about here this morning. Okay, we're not talking about that. Some people are like, did she just say that? But we can lighten up. We're in church. We can have a little bit of fun. But I just want to bring to your attention, I actually had, I was sharing with Pastor John, I had a nice sermon with some good one-liners in it, and it was fun and honoring to dads, because it seems like Dad's Day, they get kind of beat up. Like, when are you going to do this? Are you that? We're not doing that this morning. But just yesterday, I was here at the office for a little bit and started praying, and God really impressed this scripture right here upon my heart. Because sometimes when we look at the disintegration of the family, we immediately blame it on Dad. But can I just talk to moms for a moment, to wives? That responsibility is ours as well, because we do hold responsibility to honor the position of the head of the household, the men in our life. And we can honor them by how we talk about them, how we give them their place of authority. And in fact, here in this scripture, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3, it says, but I want you to realize that the man is, or I'm sorry, I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays and or prophesies with his head covers dishonors God. But what we want to really look at is the first part of that scripture is the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Can I get four volunteers? Let me see here. I need a couple. People are like looking down like, please don't pick me. Please don't. Let's get Andre and his wife. Come on up here. I need someone to stand in as God. Tim, come on up here. And you know what? The brothers are pointing to themselves. One of you, come on up here. You can be Jesus. He's like, what? Really? Really? One of you. Do I have to call you out? All right, Jared. Jared's coming up. Jared, come on up. Okay. So the dad and mom, you are the critical ones here. So dad and mom, you guys come right on up here. Dad and mom are the critical ones here. Now, God has established the family. So he's established dad and he established mom, and he brings them together, and their blessing is upon their home. And as they come in relationship with Christ here, dad here, you're going to turn right towards Andre's here, and then you're going to turn right towards your husband as towards him. And so this is the head of the home, and she's behind her husband. But then Jesus here, Jesus, the Bible talks about in Matthew, You're going to just face the wall here. Matthew talks about that Jesus, that God gave Jesus all authority. And what does the Bible says? That God gave him all authority in heaven and on earth. And then God, you're going to come right here. So God, you just got to stand there. You don't got to do anything. He's like, what am I supposed to be doing? So God has authority here, and he's given that authority to Jesus. But the Bible says that Jesus has been given that authority on earth, and he's given that authority to the man, the patriarch, the head of the home. And then that authority is passed down to his wife. Now, we're looking at this, and we're saying, well, okay, so the blessing of God comes from God to Jesus, to the man of the house, and then to the woman. I need a child. Kyle, come on up here. He's actually an adult. He just turned 18. He's not a kid anymore, Mom. He just turned 18. But you can act like a kid today, right? So he's in the blessing of the home. But Mom here, Mom has a way of doing things herself. Mom, just go ahead and step up right in front of Andre. Step up a little bit closer. And she wants to do things her way. Because this is the way my mom did it, and my mom did it, and my mother's mom did it. So Andre, I'm sorry, this is the way we're running our house. But can you see here that the blessing comes from God, goes to Jesus, goes to Andre, and there's a slip. And so we wonder when our house gets out of order, the foundation of our home, what's going on in our children's life? Why are our children acting like this? Why are they doing this? Because what? They're out of the line of blessing. So then Mom comes back behind Andre. She's honoring her husband. But she has a problem because her child is so special to her. Kyle, come up here. That Kyle, come on all the way up, stand in front of Andre. Right here. Kyle is important to Mom. And so what ends up happening is that authority of chain goes blessing. And it's here, but it doesn't know how to transfer over to here. So when we get things out of order, we put our children before our husband, or we put our children before our marriage, then the blessing of God is stopped. So then Kyle's going to go back behind Mom and Dad. So it's important to recognize, you could just, he's so nervous. He wants to do something. Do you want to do push-ups or something? I mean, he's like, what am I supposed to be doing? You just look good. That's what you're doing, okay? Okay, so we got God, our Father, Jesus, the husband, the wife, and the children. Do you guys see the foundation and the order that when blessing is here, blessing comes down? All right, give it up for our volunteers. Thank you so much. So listen, the male is the matriarch, but can I just tell you the female is I'm sorry, I got that wrong. The male is the patriarch. I will get that right. T-M, the mother, the female, is the matriarch. And I think what happens sometimes is as a matriarch or as a woman, we have the tendency, because God has created us to be nurturers, God has created us to take care. And so therefore, we want to get in here and we want to nurture, we want to take care, and we want to prefer our children. Or we want to run the household because that is my strength. You just go out and make the money and come home and I'll tell you what's going on here. Can I just tell you, sometimes it's more comfortable to run things in our own strength. But if we run things in our own strength and not in God's strength, the foundation gets out of order and the blessing of God is stopped. Now, I can understand that there's different strengths. In fact, think about Abraham. He was a major patriarch in the Word of God. And he had Sarah. Do you remember how much confusion and disorder they had in their life at different seasons? Why? Because Sarah tried to get out ahead and run their family. What? God had given them a promise. The promise was what? That even in their old age, they would give birth to a son. That was a promise that was given to them. But what happened? Sarah started to think, started to plan, started to try to work things out in her own way. Now, as a matriarch, the head of the home, I believe that Abraham should have said, honey, we got this. God has never failed us before. Let's stay in agreement. But instead of calming her and saying, hey, what you got, what I got works, God will work this out, he allowed her to talk him into a get out of jail pass, right? And he said, will you go sleep with my handmaiden? Maybe then God will bless us with a child. Now, you would think she was just trying to help, right? She was just trying to use her strength, use her ideas. But because of that, Ishmael was born. And Ishmael now, even today, we are paying for that decision over in the Middle East. So can you see the setup of the home? It's so important for the authority, the chain of authority, to recognize that God is first, then Jesus, that authority is given to our husband. And you might think, well, what if my husband abuses that authority? I'm just telling you right now, if there is any abuse, any harsh words, anything that is not of the Bible, because I know that God, as my father, has never spoke, he has corrected me, but he has never spoke harshly, never put me down, never made me feel unworthy. So a man, that is not real leadership. A man's to love his wife, to cherish his wife, and in return, the woman is to honor her husband. And that is the foundation of the home. In fact, it says in Mark chapter 6, everyone say amen. All right, Mark chapter 6, talking about honoring the position of our father or the man of the house. Here, Jesus, even in his own home, had trouble finding honor. It goes on to say, Jesus left there and went to his hometown accompanied by disciples. And it goes, the people were like, hey, wait a second, who is this man? Wait, you're telling me this is Jesus? Jesus is doing miracles? Isn't he the same man that was a carpenter? Wait, I grew up with his sisters and his brother. No way is this man able to lay hands on the sick. No way is this man able to lead and do good. It goes on to say in verse 3, and they took offense of him, and Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town, among his relatives in his own home. He could not do any miracles there except lay his hands on a few people, and they were healed. Well, why could Jesus not do miracles? It was because the familiarity. They were too familiar with who he was. They were like, oh, that's just the carpenter. They couldn't actually honor him. And when someone is not honored, it limits their ability to do what they are called to do. And wives, I'll just speak to myself. I'll step on my own toes. When I'm not honoring my husband, when I am not talking good about him, and I'm not tearing him down and bickering and complaining to my kids about my husband, that's not showing honor. And yet, in the same breath, I'll complain about what he's not doing. But is it me that is holding him back from fulfilling his full potential? Because I'll repeat that, dishonor, when someone is not honored, it limits their ability to do what they're called to do. We are called to honor. In fact, in verse 3, it also talks about that they were so upset that they got offended about Jesus coming and wanting to do good to others. The word offended means resentful, annoyed, typically a result of a perceived insult or offense. Isn't offense really easy to fall into? I mean, it's just like, did you look at me like that? Well, why are you using that tone of voice? What? You were supposed to be here 15 minutes ago. I don't know what happened, but automatically I get offended. But when we allow offense in, it allows ourselves to dishonor that person. In fact, I wrote this down. Dishonor gives self permission to remove human value from the human. What does that mean? When you're dishonoring or when you're upset with somebody, you give yourself permission to not even treat them as if they were human. That means that you get away with treating them worse than you would a stranger. We do that in our own house, right? We would never yell and slam doors the way we do if that was a stranger. We would never say some of the things we say. But I want to take responsibility for the family today. I want to take responsibility for the foundation and what God's calling us to do. Not only just have a strong family, have a strong community, but have a strong world. We got to get out of ourselves. It's just about me. It's just about my family function. If I could just get these kids raised and out of the house, life would be better. But it doesn't work like that. We have to take responsibility. In fact, my mom has always said to me, every person has a king and a fool. The one that you talk to will show up. Every person has a king and a fool on the inside of them. The one that you talk to will show up. God has called us to honor and to love one another. I'm going to ask the music ministry to come up. I just really wanted to leave an encouragement or an encouraging word with our dads this morning. We honor you. We honor your position as the head of the household. I want to encourage you that it's a holy calling. I know I said that earlier. It's a vocation. It's not something that you're just wanting to get done, but it's much more about that. It's a calling, I believe. And if we as women have ever dumbed down or not shown you honor, we want to do that. Women, we are called to pray for our men. We are called to uphold them. We are called to cherish them. And if you here this morning, you're saying, well, he doesn't honor me. I'm telling you, it's The bigger person takes the first step. The bigger person says, I will do this. Not unto maybe a man, but you do it unto God. And when you do it unto God, there seems to be a grace that settles into the home. Why don't we just do that for a moment? If you're here with your spouse, I'm going to pray for families. I'm going to pray for marriages. And if you are yet to be married, use this time to pray for your future spouse and what God's doing. Or if you are, in that season in your life, use this time to pray for your relationship with God, your family.